Continuing on with our thoughts on the Lord's Prayer, we come to the phrase, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We stated in part one that this is an outline of how to pray and not something really meant to be recited by rote, by habit, although we do that. I remember reciting this prayer daily in grade school. That was good. I wish that all our children had the same privilege today. However, when we recite something such as this by rote, it's quite possible and more than likely that we will not realize just how much depth each phrase contains. There's much more depth to each phrase than we can cover here, but we'll scratch the surface with a few thoughts for your consideration. Last week we covered the phrases, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come." Well, next we have, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The question can rightly be asked then, well, just what is the will of God? Well, one thing we know for sure, the will of God is diametrically opposed to our human wills. My will urges me to be number one at the expense of others. My natural instinct is to gain as much of this world's goods as possible without regard to others. Jesus gave us a perfect example of submitting our will to God when he prayed in the garden, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Philippians 2:5-8 urges us to be of the same mind as Jesus. Although he was God, he didn't cling to his prerogatives as God, but he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, God legislated his will when he gave his law to Moses on Mount Sinai, namely the Ten Commandments. We remember that when Jesus was questioned as to which was the greatest commandment, he simply replied that if we love God with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves, we would indeed fulfill all the law and the prophets. When Jesus demonstrated the perfect application of the law and the will of God that was legislated on Sinai in the Sermon on the Mount, of which the Lord's Prayer is an integral part. And in this sermon, we are given specific instructions as to what the will of God is. Well, Jesus told us that not everybody who shouts, "Lord, Lord," who has done mighty works, and even healed the sick and cast out demons in his name, not everybody's going to enter the kingdom. Only those who have done the will of the Father. So that's something to really think about. Jesus is our pattern for fulfilling the will of God. The agony of the cross wasn't pleasant, but it was necessary. In fact, the cross was and is the crux or focus of God's will from eternity past. In the mind of God, Calvary was already an accomplished fact. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life at the same time. Before time even began, God determined, after the counsel of his own will, to bring all things together in one, even in Christ. But we know that God is not willing that any should perish, John 3:17, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth and believe on Jesus. If we fulfill God's will by believing and obeying the gospel, we have his promise of being raised to eternal life. But if we don't, we have a promise of damnation. That's hard, but that is the Word of God. Well, our conformity to the world is the greatest hindrance to letting the will of God have full reign in our lives. When our minds are filled with triviality and weighed down with the cares of life, we lose our focus. When we allow our minds to be renewed by God's Word and Spirit, we will reject the trash of this world and focus on that which has eternal value. Romans 12:2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, none of us is perfect in comprehending, much less fulfilling the will of God. It's a progressive work in our lives which cannot be neglected. Paul prayed continually that the Colossians would have such wisdom and understanding of God's will. Colossians 1:9, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." The writer of Hebrews said, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, this is my prayer, and I'm sure it's yours also. Lord Jesus, help me to know and to do your will. Help me, Lord, to see as you see and to feel as you feel. Help me, Lord, to weigh each thought and motive against the precepts of your eternal word, that I can truly say with conviction, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven."